forth this morning, we'll come to in a few moments. I'll give it to you, though, before I read from Matthew 10. For some Sunday mornings, we've been meditating upon the Great Commission. The primary purpose of our having been saved. We've been saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And that is the preaching of the gospel to every creature under heaven. Now my text is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith." Now, in reading from Matthew 10, we learn that during the entire earthly ministry of our Lord, the gospel was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Enter the Acts of the Apostles until they experienced Peter in the household of Cornelius. It was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here in Matthew 10, for instance, beginning with verse 5, having named the 12 apostles, we read, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat." There the 12 are sent forth to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And there's a difference between the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom. Signs attended the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, which did not and do not attend the preaching of the gospel of grace. Now in the 15th chapter of Matthew, turn there please. Verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." She had no right to address him as son of David because she was not a daughter of David. Only a Jew or a Jewish could address him as the son of David. "He answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, and Jew or Gentile could address him as Lord, because he is Lord of lords, and he's Lord of all. Lord, help me. He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It is not meet to take that which is for Israel and give it to the Gentiles. When will people ever learn that truth? And quit trying to take that which is given to Israel and appropriate it to the Gentiles and vice versa. She said, True, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Our Lord uses a play on words. In the last of the 26th verse, the word dogs is used of the general run of dogs, which includes all the large dogs, whereas in the 27th verse, the word dogs is in its diminutive form and signifies the little small house dogs. The little house dogs pick up the crumbs that fall. I know, Lord, that us Gentiles have nothing coming, but we can pick up the crumbs that fall off of the Jews' table. She knew, as the Scripture prophesied, and as a few others knew, that somewhere down the line the Gentiles were coming in for blessing of the Messiah of Israel. And so our Lord replies, and he said, Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Being set aside by the Lord as a dog, not to receive any of the benefits, yet she sees them and acknowledges them. And he acknowledges her faith. And he says unto her, Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now there the gospel was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now in Matthew 24, from which we have read several times, Matthew 24, verse 46. Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Now we passed from the instance of to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Now as they go to all the world, they are to begin at Jerusalem. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, our Lord telling them about the coming descent of the Holy Spirit of God, and he says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, there we have the gospel to be preached in all the world, but they begin at Jerusalem. Now, let's get the picture fixed in our mind. During the entire ministry of our Lord's earthly career, that is, as he walked the earth in the flesh, it was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel alone. But when he gives a commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he designates a starting place. It's at Jerusalem. Now, when we come to Acts chapter 10, we have a departure. Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter is commanded to go to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile. But God would not send Peter to this Gentile house without special preparation. That preparation involved a vision. A vision is that which one sees while he is awake. A dream is that which comes to one while he is asleep. And as Peter was on the housetop, meditating, communing with God, he saw this vision. A sheet let down from heaven. Within the sheet, all kinds of animals, according to the Levitical code, both clean and unclean. And the command to Peter was, rise, kill, and eat. Peter remonstrated, no, I have never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord replied, don't call that unclean which I have called clean. Now, when I tell you to eat it, don't tell me it's unclean. Peter is to learn here that that which had been called unclean has been cleansed by the Lord and is now clean. Now, you go to this Gentile house because I'm breaking down that middle wall of partition between the Jew and Gentile, so that there is no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile. Peter went to the household of Cornelius, and he told Cornelius this was a most unusual experience for him to so do. But Cornelius had sent for Peter that Peter might come and tell him words whereby he might be saved. Not some deed to do, not some act to perform, but some words by which he might be saved. And those words are and were, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. That's it. And while Peter was preaching, right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit descended upon those Gentiles. Broke up the sermon, broke up the service. And here in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. Yea, more than that, they were in a state of shock, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have the word also. Upon the Gentiles also. Upon the Gentiles also. Now there we have that word also. We have it in Romans 1:16. I give it to you again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, wherein to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, this word also, I call your attention to the 11th chapter, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, there is a new departure in the preaching of the gospel. They had also received it. Again, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, despite that, look at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Though God had made this new departure, these early Christians were reluctant to follow the leadership of the Lord. Now, God is getting ready to send the gospel also to the Gentiles. Also to the Gentiles. In modern Christianity today, the majority of teachers and interpreters have substituted the word instead of also. And the teaching and the preaching of the majority today is that God now is sending the gospel to the Gentiles instead of to the Jews. One of the most common expressions heard as I minister the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel is that they have had their chance and they must it, and God is through with them. My beloved, the perpetuity of the nation of Israel should be a warning to any and all who think that God Almighty is through with the Jews. Now, when God got ready to send the gospel to the Gentiles, He had to prepare a special vessel. He couldn't take one out of the ranks of the 12 that He had chosen. Something within them made it difficult for them to accept the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. So He took the bitterest enemy of Christianity and saved him. Saul of Tarsus. I do not believe for one minute that God was exaggerating when He said that this one, Saul of Tarsus, was the archenemy of the church of God. And I do not believe that Paul was uttering pious platitudes when he said that he was the chiefest of sinners. I doubt not, but what when we get on the other side, if the record is revealed, we would find that Saul of Tarsus was instrumental in putting to death or having put to death more Christians than any one individual. Having sought out, caused to be arrested and later on executed every Christian he could find in Jerusalem, he went into the countryside. When no more were to be found, he went to the high priest and obtained permission to go to Damascus, where he heard many Christians had fled, that he might find them, have them arrested, and later on brought to Jerusalem and executed. But on the road to Damascus, in the middle of the day, there came one from heaven and stood in front of him. The brightness and the glory of this one from heaven who stood in front of him was such that Saul of Tarsus was smitten blind and fell in the dust prostrate at the feet of this individual. As he lay there, worlds collapsing around him, he heard this person say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? that this one was from heaven. There was no gainsaying. Saul believed in God. Saul believed in the coming Messiah. But Saul didn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. Neither did he believe that followers of the Messiah knew anything at all. And as he lay in the dust, thinking of whom he was persecuting, Christians, and this one from heaven identifying himself with those whom he was persecuting, he could but ask, "Who art thou, Lord? Who are you?" "I believe in Jehovah. I don't believe in this imposter, Jesus." "Who art thou, Lord?" And this person replied, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." That moment, he was born from above. That moment he believed. That moment he surrendered. That moment he became a follower of the lowly Nazarene. That moment he said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" Now in the 9th chapter, as the Lord sends him to the household of one Ananias, we read here, Ananias is hesitant to take him in. So in the 15th verse of this 9th chapter, the Lord said unto Ananias, "Now go on thy way. You go on and do what I've told you to do. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now this is my chosen vessel. This is the apostle to the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." How many quote that today and put a period after Gentiles and ignore the remainder of that verse? Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the great apostle, a chosen vessel of God, to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, it was the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Romans, which has the 16th verse of that first chapter, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, the good news about Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, this chosen apostle to the Gentiles, I'll take you on a brief journey through the Acts of the Apostles to show you that though chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles, that every city, town, or village into which he entered, he went to the Jews first and then to the Greek. God has order in his work. The Spirit of the Lord through the Apostle Paul said, "Let everything be done in decency and in order." And God is not the God of confusion, but the God of order. Well, here the Apostle Paul is. He goes to Ananias. He was baptized. Look, verse 18. "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he arose, received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But his first preaching and ministry after his salvation and baptism, his first preaching and ministry was to the Jews in the synagogue. We read up here in the 22nd verse, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. No one has ever denied the existence of a person called Jesus of Nazareth. The denial comes in, first of all, on the part of the nation of Israel, that he is their Messiah. The denial comes in on the part of Gentiles that he is the Son of the living God. And the denial among professing Christians are something of that sort is that he is very God of very God, Jesus. So he proves that he is the Christ. Paul goes back to Jerusalem. We read in the 26th verse, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They knew how he had persecuted the Jews. They were afraid of him. They continued to be afraid of him all of his life. Barnabas was kindly disposed to him. And we come to the 29th verse. We read here that he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. The Grecians were the Jews born in Greece. Today, we would call them, I judge, Grecian Jews or Greek Jews. They called them Grecians. Now, the Greeks, as such, were designated by the word Greek. We have the word Greeks and we have the word Grecians. There were some Greeks who came to see Jesus and got the word that he would not see them because a corn of wheat until it falls in the ground and die abideth alone. Those were Greeks. Those were Gentiles from Greece. Jews from Greece are called Grecians. The literal translation would be Hellenist. Those of you in literature and history know about the Hellenistic literature, and you know about the Hellenist in history. So Paul was there contending with them. Now, in the 11th chapter of Acts, as we continue the movement of the Apostle Paul, in the 19th verse, we read that which I read a few moments ago. Now, they which were scattered abroad, these are all the Christians scattered out from Jerusalem. They go up to Antioch, they go to Damascus, they all over the country. Scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. You see? Now those were the Christians of Jerusalem who were scattered abroad. Saul wasn't there. But they preached only to the Jews. Only to the Jews. It was a long time before the apostles themselves in Jerusalem would accept also to the Gentiles. They were stubborn about accepting also to the Gentiles, as ex-Gentiles who are now Christians are stubborn today about accepting the truth of God, that is to the Jew first. Now, we talk about the stubbornness of the Jews, I'll tell you. I don't know whether they can rival the Gentiles or not. I try to figure who influenced who, whether the Jews influenced the Gentiles or the Gentiles influenced the Jews. You remember the story I told you, didn't you? Two Jews one day about the finances and wealth of the world, and finally one Jew said to the other, Abe, where are these Gentiles getting all this money we're taking away from them? Who has it? Who has it? Almost like button. Who has the button? Wealth of the world, who has it? Who has it? Gentiles take it from the Jews. The Jews take it from the Gentiles. And back and forth to go. Okay. They preached to the Jews only. Only to the Jews. In the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we have, this is interesting, You see, after Paul was saved, there is a lapse of approximately 3 years in his life of which we have no record. We do have some statements concerning movements of his. We have him speaking about going into the Arabian desert. We have him being taught by word of mouth by the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul preached, wasn't taught him by any man. The gospel that Paul preached was taught him by Jesus the Christ, who came and sat here, say, on a rock, and here facing him was Saul of Tarsus, or Paul the Apostle, and Jesus taught him by word of mouth that which he preached. That's the meaning of those words in some of the epistles of Paul, in which he says, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that I delivered unto you was that which also the Lord had delivered unto me." So the thought is that whereas the Lord had spent about 3 years teaching the other apostles, he came and he spent about 3 years in the Arabian desert teaching the apostle Paul the gospel which he preached. At the expiration of those 3 years, of which we have no clear record or activity defined, the apostle Paul returns to his home in Tarsus, and after 12 years, church in Antioch, made up of Christians from Jerusalem and others who had been saved in the meantime, is developing, things are moving, and Barnabas comes up from Jerusalem, and he realizes, or is made to see by the power of the Spirit of God, that they need some help, and immediately he remembers this Saul of Tarsus, and he sends to Tarsus to get Saul, and Saul of Tarsus comes over to the church at Antioch after 15 years, or say after 14 years. He comes because he's there in the church about a year. So we read here in Acts 13 and chapter verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called a Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." They're all meeting there, and as they're meeting there, one day something happens. Verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they," get this fourth verse, don't get all mixed up with that third verse where it talks about the church sending them away. The fourth verse tells it. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews." Paul and Barnabas starting their first missionary journey. In the first place to which they come, though called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, goes first and preaches the gospel to the Jews. This chapter is intensely interesting in the light of the trouble between the Turks and Greeks over the island of Cyprus. And we read of Paphos and other towns on the island. And as I see the maps on the newscast and hear the reports, I think that's where Barnabas and Saul were. And that's where they preached. They had John Mark there as a minister. Now we move on as we follow Paul's journey. We come to verse 14 of that same chapter. "When they had departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." The synagogue where the Jews met on the Sabbath day, the day that they met. The church met on the first day of the week, not on the Sabbath day. Now, after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, to the Jew first. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And then he goes ahead, and he begins to tell of the wonders and glories of the Lord. Look in the 42nd verse. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. There we have the Apostle Paul, besought by the Gentiles. He's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, but he goes to the Jews first, and then he turns to the Gentiles. Look in the 46th verse. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Now, why was it necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to the Jews? Now, why was that necessary? Because God Almighty commanded it. That's why it was necessary. It was necessary for you that we preach this gospel to you first. But, seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so somebody says, now see there, that's where he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, and the Jews are out of it, and now it's to the Gentiles only. Here's a passage of Scripture. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I didn't write that. The Spirit of the Lord wrote that. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We'll come to that later. All right. Turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. That's in that city. Now let's look at the next place to which Paul goes. The next place in chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. The very next town into which he went to the Jews first. When the Jews in a given town rejected him, he turned from them to the Gentiles. But he went to the Jews first. Synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believe. Turn to the 16th chapter and the 12th verse. The Apostle Paul has been imprisoned in Philippi. God Almighty has miraculously delivered them. And so here we have a novel experience beginning with verse 12 in the 16th chapter. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now watch what follows. Here he is in Philippi, a Gentile city, no synagogue. But watch. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. That tells us that it is Jewish. They went out on the Sabbath day, down by the river where prayer was wont to be made. Down by the river because of many ablutions connected with the Jewish worship and services. No men. That's the reason there wasn't a synagogue. It required, I believe, a minimum of 10 to form a synagogue. Not that many men there. Here's just a group of Jewish women. And they have gathered together. And the Apostle Paul goes down there. And there he finds these Jewish women meeting and worshiping. So in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. She worshiped Jehovah, we would call an Orthodox Jewess. She's worshiping Jehovah, and she heard Paul as he was teaching, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, She besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained them. Here the Apostle Paul in Philippi, the Sabbath, the day of worship, and part of the Jews. He seeks for Jews, and the only ones he can find is a group of Jewish ladies down by the riverside where they'd gone for their prayers and for their worship. And there he meets this merchant lady by the name of Lydia. And the Lord opens her heart because salvation is of God. The Lord opens her heart and she is saved. And then she invites him to come in to her home. Now we move on with the Apostle Paul to chapter 17. In chapter 17, this is way over there in the preaching of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. Now he goes to Thessalonica. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Here is the chosen vessel of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. An apostle to the Gentiles. Here he is, but he's going to the synagogue to the Jews, because it's to the Jews first. So he goes in. For 3 Sabbath days, he reasons with these Jews out of the Scriptures. Now, notice how he does it. Verse 3. Opening and alleging. He presents his subject, and then alleging, he presents his proof. Opening, presenting, and then proving unto them that Christ, their Messiah, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. He's preaching to them and teaching them that the cross comes before the crown. We have the suffering servant before we have the reigning king. He must needs have suffered first, risen from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That's the same thing today. That's the reason it's easier to reach an Orthodox Jew than a Reformed Jew, because the Orthodox Jew, as a rule, believes in Jehovah, and he believes in the coming Messiah, but he doesn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. But you show him from the Scripture. And so the Apostle Paul, I call your attention to the words in the first part of the second verse. Paul, as his manner was, went to the Jews first. Paul, as his manner was, went to the Jews first. Paul, as his manner was, went to the Jews first. Look at the 10th verse. Paul leaves Thessalonica and goes to Berea. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these Jews in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Searching the Scriptures to see if it was true that was being preached. Now, the Apostle Paul moves over to Athens, and in verse 17, we read, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons in the market daily with them that met him there." Look in the 18th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul goes to Corinth. In the 18th chapter, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, emperor of Rome, had commanded or had caused to be thrown out of Rome all the Jews, Claudius. And so Aquila and Priscilla were among that group, and Paul searches them out. He doesn't search for a Gentile. He searches for a Jew. Look in the 5th verse. when Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Look in the 19th verse. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Look at the 14th verse. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scripture, came to Ephesus. And Paul meets up with him and instructs him in the word and the way of life. Look in the 19th chapter at verse 8. There Paul went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Look in the 20th chapter and the 21st verse. We read there that Paul, meeting with the Ephesian elders, testified both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 26th chapter and the 20th verse, as we follow the missionary journeys of Paul, we read here, he's speaking before King Agrippa, and he says in the 20th verse of the 26th chapter how that he was shown unto him first of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. God showed unto him the Jews first, and then unto the Gentiles of that group. And then we come to the last chapter, the 28th chapter, the 17th verse. We read here concerning Paul in prison. It came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. There he is in prison in Rome, going first to the Jews. Now in the 28th verse of that 28th chapter, we have a most important verse, a line of demarcation with the constant refusal of the Jews to hear. We read here, Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. This is the third time we read of Paul turning from the Jews to the Gentiles, and he says the Gentiles now will hear it. And this line, verse here, 28:28, is a line of demarcation between the old and the new. And this is where the branches are broken off. This is where Israel is set aside temporarily. This is where he goes out to the Gentiles to gather out of them a people for his name. But, the order is never changed. It's not a question of preeminence. It's a question of order. Now, I want to lay this before you. Our Lord Jesus Christ came. He came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent out the 12. He sent them only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent out the 70 only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The preaching of the apostles and early Christians up until the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But a new dimension appears, and there is a departure here from only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to also the Greek. Also the Greek. So they're included. That's never changed. Never changed. God's order today, Romans 1 and 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. That's God's order. Israel is God Almighty's firstborn son. Israel is called the apple of God's eye. Israel is guaranteed preservation and perpetuity and restoration to the heads of the nations. God has promised, I will bless anyone that blesseth thee, and I'll curse anyone that curseth thee. It's God's word. That's it. We have many things in mind for Israel with the mission. And the majority of the church, as far as I know, all of the church, there is this desire on our part to establish a work in Israel. On October the 15th, Mr. Brown, chairman of the board of the Southern Hebrew Mission, and the brother Messenger, our representative from the house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel is now are going to the land of Israel. We're going to see about establishing work over there. We are prepared to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever it is, to get this work started. It had been thought at first that the pastor would go with them, but it didn't seem to be the will of the Lord. I feel possibly it'd be the will of the Lord after the work is established and gets going for a little while, then possibly the pastor will go over for two or three weeks or something and teach the Word of God to them. But that's in the offering. I mention that because every once in a while somebody wants to know, what are you doing? What are you going to do? Well, we never boast nor brag about the work because sooner or later you end up talking about what we've done and forget what the Lord has done. And so the Lord makes it known, and those who know us and those who know the Lord aren't concerned or disturbed or worried about it. But I mention that because I want you to be much in prayer. I want you to be much in prayer that these two men will be led of the Lord, be led of the Lord as to the establishment of this work. There's a nucleus already there, and they've already started a building, but they need help on that. And we're in a position to help if the Lord so leads. Great things, Israel. The day is coming when the Lord shall return and call us before Him for an accounting of what we've done with that with which He's entrusted us. Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege and opportunities that are ours. We thank Thee for that day back yonder, 1943, when Thou didst show us in no uncertain terms that the gospel was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We thank Thee for the manifold, unlimited, innumerable blessing bestowed upon us and ours and every place we've witnessed because of our attempt to be faithful to Thy command to give the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May Thy blessing and benediction rest and abide upon this church, every member here, every visitor, all the many friends and others interested in and who love the cause of Israel. Father, bless and prosper Israel and hasten the day when she shall be at peace. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're dismissed.